Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Press Coverage on the Going for Two Live Network. I'm Kyle Senra, and my guest this week is Janet Wilson. Both of us, as you could clearly tell from the for those watching the video, we're both Packers fans. So I had a Vikings fan on recently, so this is a nice change of pace. Janet, welcome.
Hi, I'm so flattered that you invited me on the show, and I'm so excited to talk about football and talk about me.
Yes, of course. So for those just tuning in for the first time, Press Coverage is a show I get to know a lot of people, usually from the fantasy football industry. And Janet, you do podcast on a Packers podcast, the Lombardi Sweep, and I do listen to that. And again, as a Packers fan, like supporting Fleury Sports anyway, but certainly everyone there is fantastic. So great Packers content creator. So I thought it applied. Going for Two is a fantasy site primarily, but we love football. We love talking. And this season of Press Coverage, I am interviewing a lot of teachers. So you kind of just fit in nicely of, okay, football creator, content creator, teacher. And that's what this season's all about. So welcome along. Hope everyone has a blast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And yes, I am a teacher in these trying times.
Yes. And we'll get into that. And I think part of the show is to garner sympathy, empathy, and just, peek behind the curtain a little bit while we are trying to have as much fun as possible. But of course, fans can interact since we are live. So head over to the Going for Two Live YouTube page, Twitch, Facebook. If Jeff Lambert, our founder who created this great network for us here, he's in the chats joining in on YouTube. So head over to one of those platforms. You can see the videos on Twitter, but if we can't see your Twitter comments. So again, if you do want to interact, we again recommend you head over to the Going for Two Live YouTube page, Twitch page, Facebook page. Of course, I can see your comments through there. And do want to plug our sponsor real quick, the Underdog website. And Underdog allows you to do a few things. There's betting on certain sports. I know there's big hockey and basketball playoff games on, baseball, of course, and this, CFL's a couple months away, and of course the NFL once that comes, but you can bet on those things. But also, since we love fantasy football so much, best ball drafts on Underdog. And if you haven't signed up for Underdog yet, you can do so using either the promo code GF2 or on your screen the fancy QR code, and either of those give you access to a double deposit match by Underdog. So if you sign up using those promo codes, they will double whatever you're depositing in up to $100. So if you do put in the full 100, they will give you an extra 100. You'll have $200 in your account ready to go. And I guess it's probably too late to gamble on tonight's playoff games that have started, but I think round two of the NHL playoffs starts tomorrow night. So here we go. Get ready for some more betting fun. And of course, best ball drafts happening all the time. Since we're so obsessed with fantasy football, but of course there's a lot of people who are just obsessed with football, and that's where we're going to start. But Janet, the first question for you is, what are your first sports memories?
Oh, this is a good one. I'm just kidding. So my dad is actually a coach. He's coach of everything. He was actually my coach for a little bit, a soccer coach. So he was just always around, and obviously, I started off really young. I saw my parents get engaged right after the Super Bowl. So it's just, it's always been embedded in my blood, and I've seen it all my life completely. My dad was completely obsessed, still is obsessed, and kind of created a bond with him. It was his love language. And like every kid, you want to talk to your parents. I don't know. I wanted to talk to my dad. So the way I found it was if I sat on the couch with him all day on Sunday, he would talk to me. And I know some people think that sounds completely terrible, but as I think a lot of daughters with their fathers, that's how they create a bond. I've noticed that most, girls that love football, that's how they created a bond with their dad, and they're very close with their dad. So I would sit on the couch, and whenever I have videos of him, whenever I would ask him a question, straight up pause the game. All right, here we go. This is where they're supposed to be. And he would just like lay out everything for me. And this is the running back, and this is the quarterback. So I just like gradually started learning, and I was the first daughter and the first girl. So he went with it. He ran with it because he knew that I loved it so much. And eventually, it just became more and more part of me. I don't think he was expecting it to become this much of a part of me. And at one point, he pretty much cried about it just because he was so proud of me. Yeah, he didn't do it in front of me. Which, if he's watching this, sorry, Dad, I'm totally like outing you. But he didn't do it in front of me. My sister said that he cried when he saw me on Cheesehead TV when I was talking to AJ Dillon, because he didn't think I was gonna take off with it the way I did. He thought it was just like, oh, she's gonna like football, cool. And then I'm over here talking to players on his favorite team that he's a complete diehard on, and he's like, that's my daughter, that's my daughter. So it's just. I really hope that dad's, I'm just seeing right now, my 10-year-old daughter isn't into football, but her thing is Star Wars. That's cute. I really hope that even though she isn't into football, gradually she does get into it. Just seeing your dad, seeing something that makes your dad really happy and you being around to see it. Saw my parents, like I said, get engaged right after Super Bowl. And we have like all these happy memories. All of his kids invested in it. All of us. We're all diehard fans. We all got like the silliest Packer memorabilia. So yeah, I think that was like when I don't know first memory, but I know that I just pretty much was born into it.
Well, I mean, even that, just the memory of your parents getting engaged, that seems like it's a, even if it's not the first memory, very emotional memory for everyone, tied to a lot of great things. I'm guessing when you say Super Bowl, is that after the Packers Super Bowl win?
Yes, against, I believe it was 1997. The
Yeah, I think that
Steel.
would have been the 96 season, so probably January 97, February 97. Okay.
Yeah, because my brother was born like 9 months later. So, yeah.
I
Yeah, so it's around there.
think we all know math. But yes,
Yeah.
but to all the, I guess, Kobe Bryant made this expression super popular, the girl dads, right? And it seems
Yeah.
like Jeff's definitely a girl dad. It seems like your dad certainly was, even if, I guess you mentioned you had brothers, so it's not as if he only had daughters, but yeah, sharing that influence, and teaching, really, because it sounded like he was teaching you football as well. So was he almost your first teacher, I guess? I don't know if you were school age at that point.
Yes, he was. Well, both my parents actually, I picked up the family trade here. My parents, both of them were teachers 30 plus years. So he was teacher slash coach, but I was always the coach's daughter. So that was pretty much an issue. All the guys wanted to be my friend because they knew that my dad was a coach. But that's pretty much it. Pretty much friends. So yeah, he was the football coach as well. He was a basketball coach. He was my soccer coach. And I think that pretty much has driven me throughout my life, because I'm still so much into sports. He pretty much set down the foundation. And now I'm still active. I still play sports. I still do sports. I'm still obsessed with them. And I think because he kind of drilled it in me, he was also a Navy vet. So it was, yeah, I was raised a little bit like a boy.
Discipline, super important, I'm sure. Well, teaching and Navy vet, because I know both my parents are teachers, so discipline's a huge part. So yeah, I'm sure that double whammy there, and coach, triple whammy almost. But so
Yeah.
I guess you almost kind of hinted at it, like seeing your parents as teachers, is that the first thing that made you want to teach, or was there another moment outside of maybe your parents that gave you that teaching bug, that to want to instruct?
No, that is actually the opposite. I didn't want to teach. I didn't want to. They would always tell me all the time, like, don't teach. It's rough. The pay is not good. They were trying to embed it in my brain, which is kind of funny because my sister and I both ended up teachers.
Same here. Both my parents are like, yeah, you probably shouldn't. And yeah, both her, my sister and I are both teachers. So
Yeah, so
yeah.
we ended up teachers, and they're still trying to convince us to get out of it. They're like, come on, there's something else. And my degree is not even in teaching. It's actually like communications and social media, TV, which is probably why I'm here right now. I do have experience also radio. I did radio, I did news TV. That and my minor is English. So I use my minor in English to pretty much start teaching, and that's why I'm a writing teacher, not a math. But I'm actually not, I'm more into like the marketing, social media, all that stuff. So my they're kind of pushing me to get out of teaching. Although I would say that I am pretty comfortable, unfortunately.
For better or worse, right? So I
Yeah.
guess so even though you had that background and that degree outside of teaching, what got you into the teaching profession in the first place?
For my degree or the degree I had to get, I had to take practicum hours where that's why I was in, I would do a little bit of radio, a little bit of TV, a little bit of we did editing and stuff like that. So I had to put in hours, and it just so happened that they were doing a play, a children's play, Coraline. We were doing Coraline at my university, and I love that movie. It's trippy, but I thought this sounds like a lot of fun. So I jumped in while I was also taking a children's literature course, and my professor for that course, asked me if I would run the entire show, and I said yes. I was like, sure, go ahead, let's do it, why not? And I really liked that professor, and he and I were pretty close, and we would hang out and stuff. So he was like, I just feel like you're a good leader and you would fit very well with the kids. And I was like, all right, let's do it then. So he put me in charge of everything. I was a stage manager. I was in charge of making sure all the kids were off book by a certain time and the lights and everything. And gradually he just told me, he said, have you ever thought about going into teaching? Because the kids seem to listen to you. They don't listen to anybody else. And I was like, no, I don't even want to teach. My parents have told me years that I shouldn't teach, that it doesn't, you know, there's no money in it, that it's exhausting. Like, my parents have talked nothing but negatively about teaching. So I said no. And he said, well, if you decide you want to go into teaching, I think that would be really good for you. So after I graduated from college, I was in this really, I graduated from a very small town, and I lived in a very small town before I moved to San Antonio. And there was nothing but teaching. There's nothing over there in marketing, social media, nothing like that, that I think that I could run with. It's not like here in San Antonio where we've got like the Spurs, you know, where I'm like, okay, cool, this is something I really think I could do. So I felt like I was in a rut, and my mom was like, maybe you should just try going into teaching. And I ended up going to teaching. It was just probably like a last option thing, sadly. But gradually, I felt like I belonged. I felt like the kids, I love the kids. I really do. I love them to death. I always call them my kids, my kids, my kids. I don't have kids of my own. So I fell in love with kindergarten. I was a kindergarten teacher before I was in fourth grade. I just recently switched to fourth grade. And my principal pulled me aside, and she's like, look, I put you in fourth grade so you can get a kind of like a pay raise. She's like, but I'm kind of seeing that you don't fit in. Like, I don't, I really don't fit in with the fourth graders. I think because of my size, I'm 4'11". I'm tiny. I'm shorter than they are. And they're bullies. They are hardcore.
I've seen some of your
bullies.
Tweets the all through the school year.
They're bullies. So she kind of told me, I don't think that, and that's fine. I straight up told her, I said, you're my boss. You are the one that knows me where I belong. So move me where you need to move me. She's going to move me back to kindergarten. So I'm excited. And I think that's where I belong. I love the kindergartners. I fell in love with teaching kindergarten. They're just the funniest little things ever in my life. I think that age 5 and 6 is just hilarious. Like, they are drunk, tiny people. They are drunk, tiny people.
I've had a friend describe it as, like, if every time you see a little kid walking around, just picture that as an adult, like, doing all the actions they would, the uncoordinatedness, and yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Losing shoes and just, like, not even letting me know. And then I'm seeing that they're in line and I'm asking them, where's your shoe? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know where your shoe is? So then I have to run back and go find it. As opposed to fourth graders, I think they're a little bit more self-aware, and it makes it tough. It makes it tough for me. I don't look my age. So they make it real hard for me. It's not easy. And I think they're way ahead of us. Way ahead of us.
Yeah, no. Yeah, kids are not certainly unintelligent. I think that's maybe something, even as teachers and parents in general, we kind of tend to maybe underestimate children's intelligence. But yeah, for sure, I agree.
Especially with I think it has a lot to do with the TikToks and the YouTube, because we didn't have that stuff around. We lived in our little bubble in our little space, and we were very sheltered. So we didn't call each other racial slurs, and now it's come to the point where they've got, you know, access to the world. And so those fourth graders, they've really tested me.
Well, you're giving that test, they're testing you, of course, but
for sure.
That is an interesting kind of way to get into the teacher profession, right? Starting as the accidental stage manager and going from trying to get kids off book to trying to get kids to read books, right? Mm-hmm. That's an interesting transition in itself.
And it's different too, because as like being a stage manager in a theater, those kids want to be there. They ask their parents if they can act or be on a show, and it was enjoyable. And here you're sitting them in front of this, you know, testing stuff, and they're like, why do I have to do this? This is boring. I hate it here. So it's completely different. Definitely 180, not what I started off with. But I think kindergarten, I think I'm a 5-year-old trapped in a 30-year-old body. So I really am. So I believe that going back to kindergarten is going to be where I belong. That's
relate
where I
to them more.
I really do. They're like, when do you have a conversation with an adult that asks you what your favorite dinosaur is? I want people to ask me what my favorite dinosaur is when I'm just like at the bars drinking. Like, hey, what's your favorite dinosaur? I'll be like, a velociraptor? Yeah, woo. So when I go to work and I'm a kindergarten teacher, they ask me what my favorite dinosaur is all the time, or what my favorite color is. And, you know, I like to talk about myself. So, of course, I'm going to thrive there. They see me as their hero.
I guess I should ask questions about yourself then. Is that the hint I'm getting?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what is your favorite color? Is it green or gold?
It's actually green. It's actually green.
I was hoping to be one of the two, I guessed.
No, it is green. What's your favorite color?
See, I like a lot of different sports teams, so I'm not just a Packers fan. I think it's probably red, but some days it's blue, some days it's purple, some days it's green. So it's probably any of those four colors, because I think life would be boring if I only saw one of those four, if I can at least see all four of those colors at the same time. So yeah.
I like that answer. Yeah. Life would be boring.
Because I have gone through different stages of my life where, no, green's my favorite color. No, it's definitely purple. Oh, now it's red. And I can tie it to like specific things, like green, obviously the Packers. I'm a big Detroit Red Wings fan, so like love that logo, and yeah, I love the color red. I remember watching Digimon, and Izzy was my favorite character, and his crest color was purple. So then I added a phase where, oh yeah, it's purple, my favorite color now. So it'll will actually change. I need to do analytics and numbers on colors more, and maybe I'll get a better answer. Because with football players and like rankings, I can rank that pretty easily. But yeah, ask me my favorite color, and I, you know, it took me 5 minutes to answer it.
No, mine is definitely green. My entire apartment is just slathered in green and Green Bay things all over the wall, to the point where a maintenance guy came in to fix something, and he's like, "Wow, it's so cool that you let your boyfriend decorate the place." And I was like, "This is all my stuff. This is all mine. Oh no!"
That's even probably cooler, to be honest.
Now he and I are tight, though, because he's a huge Eagles fan, and we hate the Cowboys, so woo!
which I guess in Dallas, it's going to be one or the other, right? It's either to love it, the Cowboys, or I guess that's probably all of America, it seems like it.
No, we completely hate them. They hate us, too, though. I've got, obviously, my vehicle as well. It's, like, got decals all over it. They've ripped them off at the games. Or just parked in the parking lot. It's ridiculous. I have backup decals in my drawers because I will get outside and they're gone. And I know it's them. I know it's them. It's not anyone else. They're the only fans that I would assume that would take them off. But also, they did it at the game. And they also threw a milkshake on my car. So, a McDonald's milkshake, too. So, we hate them together. So he and I are tight.
I think they're mad at all the Packers beating the Cowboys in the playoffs recently.
Yeah, and we get them out too. Every time they don't make it past the first round because of us.
I guess this year is the 49ers, which are common foe there. We'll not go into those details. But since you love sports so much, have you ever used sports or your love for the Packers as part of a lesson plan?
I bring up Vince Lombardi all the time, his quotes. I'm ridiculous with his quotes, telling the kids all the time. And I'm like, if you are on time, you're late, but if you're early, you're on time. I'm like always telling them like silly things, and I'm like, what the hell is going on out there? But so I'm always telling them random things, and they're like, what? I'm like, who said that? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, Vince Lombardi, duh, learn your football. Like, I'm so mean to them, and like, especially the kids that are Cowboy fans. I'm like, well, do you remember, you know, the Ice Bowl? I'm like, yeah, we beat you guys. Like, I'm just like throwing history out the window. They have no idea what's going on. They're like 10 years old. But when I was a kindergarten teacher, I played this game with these kids called Trash Get Ball. And it's basically, they would write down their answers on their paper and with their name, and they would, you know, try to make it into the trash. And I would go and get the papers. It was just something to get them like up and moving. So they would write their name, the answer, on the paper, throw it in the trash. I would go get it and read out, okay, blah, 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 answered this. They got it right. Woo! So whenever the kids would go up to shoot, I would say, offense. And so everyone would get quiet. And then when he would shoot and make it, turn around, and I'd go, defense, and everybody would get loud. Woo! Like, it was so fun, and like just – I sometimes like I'll throw it in there, sometimes I don't, but that was one where like I really used it, teaching them when to be loud and teaching them when to be quiet.
Now, teaching them proper football etiquette. Yeah. That's actually a great idea, the idea of the trash get ball, right? Because sometimes to get kids to participate, especially in front of others, they're nervous, they don't want to share the answers, so that might be like just to encourage it, get them excited to have the answer. Like, yeah, to try at least, and so that's great.
Yeah, so that was like the one time that I've used it actually in class. But when I was In creative writing, I constantly use a lot of work from Vince Lombardi into my essays. I talked about how he was the first, like he was a mad scientist and he would work under the field to create, like to heat it up, to create the first heated field ever. I was just obsessed. Well, I still am. And my professors would be like, can you write about something else other than Vince Lombardi? Because we already know it's your paper. And then I also had a fourth grader recently write me a paper on why she hates the Green Bay Packers, because she's a giant Cowboys fan. And it's funny because when I posted it on Twitter saying that when I opened up the essay, I saw, let me tell you why I hate the Green Bay Packers. Everybody thought it was a boy. It was not a boy. It was a girl. Her and I are like this all the time. She came up to me at the playground the other day. She's like, how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers leaving your team? And I was like, what about Ezekiel Elliott? And she's like, nah, he left on his own. Like, we pretty much, have you seen Bad Teacher where he's like arguing about Michael Jordan? That's me with that student. Her and I are always like fighting and just arguing with each other. And the day that she didn't come to school, she didn't come to school one day. It was Super Bowl Sunday. She didn't come to school on Monday. And I was like, why didn't you come to school? She's like, because you're not supposed to come on Super Bowl Monday. And I'm like, there was school. You didn't show up.
You see, you might not be able to. We got to come to get paid, though. So we got to have
a choice. I was like, what do you mean there was school, though? You ended up absent. What do you mean there's no – you're not supposed to come? Yes, you are. And she's also, like, a huge Aggies fan, and I can't stand Aggie fans. So we're always just battling it out. And it's her. It's not even the boys. It's just me and her.
Well, hey, like the idea that sports are for everyone, right? That's a perfect example of it.
For sure.
So who have been the biggest influences in your life so far?
As far as like just life?
Yeah. I mean, we could have gone teaching, life, sports, but however you want to interpret the question. And usually I let the guests kind of decide how they want to answer.
All right. It's going to have to be my parents. My parents are, and my siblings. We are very, very close. Everybody knows that whenever I go to a game, we're a caravan. We travel all together. This has been going on for 20 years since we weren't even allowed to go to the games yet because it was just too cold. So we would stay with my grandparents. Yeah. So I was born in Texas. My grandparents are from Wisconsin. And so every year we would go up and visit them for Christmas because my parents, obviously Texas has no seasons. Well, it's starting to have seasons. But before it didn't have seasons, it wouldn't really snow when we were younger. And my family, my parents wanted us to experience, you know, snow and all that. So every year for Christmas, we would go visit my grandparents up in Wisconsin, and that was our family tradition, and we never stopped. It's been it's already going to be like 21 years, 22 years. My brother was 6, I think, when we started going. So it's been a family tradition of just going up there, and they have been pretty much my rocks through the entire life, and I think being trapped, because we don't drive. We don't fly. We drive every year. Being trapped in a vehicle with your siblings for 24 hours, 19 to 24 hours, and your parents, I feel like you have no other choice but to become close and like those people. And people always tell me, like, you're so close with your family. Like, I hardly see people that are that close with their family, with their parents, with their siblings. And I think that's why we also became so big on family means football, because it's just what's kept us together so long. We've never strayed away from each other. We're always together. Every single weekend, we're together for a game. Every single weekday, it's just, so I think they've been my major influences. Also, my parents came from nothing and tried to give us so much. And I think taking us to games once we got old enough, obviously, because we didn't go when we were younger. But taking us to games was an opportunity for us to meet people from all over, because Packers are everywhere. They had us, you know, get to know people, be out there in the public. And my dad, something that he enjoys. My mom, although she's not like a huge football girly, she's very much always supported us being like huge Packer fans. She's like, she'll wear the clothes and she doesn't really know what's going on, but she likes being in the environment. So I think they've been the biggest influences in my life is be my parents. And I think a lot of people say the same though.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially, you know, on this show, because it's been, you know, teaching has been kind of the emphasis. So guests have talked about like the teachers that have really influenced them that they've worked with, but it's double whammy for you because your parents are both teachers. So that totally made sense. I kind of guess that's where you would go, but now we all know.
Yes.
So that next question is, what are your favorite hobbies? And obviously a big part of your lifestyle is sports related. So is there anything outside of sports that you like? Or is there just no time for that at all because sports are so huge?
So I just can't really stop moving. My Saturdays consist of pretty much going to the gym in the morning. Then I pick a sport. So I either go hiking. I've also ran half marathons. Wow. I've done like trail running where I ran 17 miles in the blazing heat. I thought I was going to die. I also like rollerblading and skateboarding, and I pretty much tell myself pick a sport, and then eventually after I pick a sport, I like to take Pumba somewhere, my dog. I like to take him somewhere, whether it be like the dog park or we just go to the park. I've recently taught him to pull me on my skateboard, although we're still working on it because he'll randomly run in front and I almost fall. But I'm also very much an extreme sport girl. Whenever I travel, I love traveling as well. Whenever I travel, I try to look for possibly the most dangerous thing I could find around me. And my mom completely hates it. So I've been skydiving. I've been snowboarding, surfing. I've been bungee jumping, which was hilarious. She did not even want to look. She's like, I'm just going to go over here and look at the trees. And so I've been swimming with sharks. So I pretty much just, I pick anything that's extreme around me. I don't really have any fears. As far as when it comes to height or any of that stuff, I'll do it. So my hobbies are pretty much traveling, finding something crazy to do. I'm an adrenaline rush junkie. I've gone skiing as well. So I don't care if I don't know how to do it. Cause I'm that person that's not afraid to be seen trying. I think it's hilarious. I have eaten so much snow when I go snowboarding. So I went snowboarding before I started learning skateboarding. So they told me that now I know how to skateboard, it might be a little bit better when I go snowboarding. But usually I do that in Wisconsin. And
yeah, I guess snowboarding in Texas would be difficult.
Yeah, that would be kind of hard considering it's 95 degrees. Also when I went bungee jumping, the first jump was terrible. I just kind of like let myself fall. They told me it was the worst. First they told me face forward. And I was like, hold on, in the picture, they're jumping back. They're like, yeah, that's the second jump. And I was like, okay, cool. So I said, okay, fine, whatever, let's do it. Well, my legs completely went numb on that first jump that I just kind of threw myself and ended up bruising all my arm and all my legs. And then so the second jump, which they told me you don't have to, because they kind of saw that I was like, well, I wasn't as scared as the guy next to me. But the guy next to me was a bull rider, so it made no sense. I'm like, sir, you do this as a living. You you know, gamble with death constantly. Why are you afraid of this?
But I guess it's funny, different environment, right? Like, he's probably used to like being like 10 feet off the ground max, so like when you know, people jumping high, right? Like, not used to being that far up. So it's probably just like, probably doesn't relate. Like, we see it as, oh, they're both dangerous, but in his mind, yeah, one of them I've trained at for years, and like, it's, while it's dangerous, I know the dangers, I know like what's the worst is, this is new experiences. Like, yeah, I'd be pretty afraid to bungee jump, and I haven't gone bull riding, so
yeah. So they told me, they're like, we saw that your first jump was kind of whack, are you sure, like, you can opt out now, or you could jump for the second time and get a free shirt. And I was like, oh, I was like, I want a free shirt.
Hey, better than nothing.
And I said, show me the shirt. And the
shirt is it at least said, green? If it's green, I'll do it.
No, it's white, but it looks cool because it says Danger Sports Club member. And it has like somebody jumping off a bridge. And I'm like, that shirt is cool as hell, though. I want that shirt. So, and they said, and the second jump, you get to jump backwards. And I was like, that's going to be so much better, because I would rather jump into the unknown than see what's down at the bottom. So when that one I rocked, though, that one I ended up posting on like TikTok and whatever. So that one, I just, free bird, I just threw myself back. I'm throwing up the rock and roll signs while I'm going down. And laughing the entire time. So I think, yeah, I've got crazy hobbies my mom does not approve of. And I'm that child with her.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So I guess you have revealed a lot. That's part of the show, part of the programming. But what is something that no one knows about you? Maybe like not even your Lombardi Sweep co-host know. I don't know if anyone's watching, but I guess they're out to know. But
yeah, I pride myself in being very vulnerable and very open with everybody around me. I always say, first, if you're going to hear something, whether it be bad or good, it's going to be from my own mouth. And also, I always say, shut up, because this is probably like the best part of your day. Like, you're going to hear something crazy come out of my mouth about my life. I pretty much put it all out there, but I don't think I've mentioned that the year that we had our, I'm going to leave it football related. The year that we had our 100 year mark for the Green Bay Packers, and they released the legendary documentary. It was summer, and I was a teacher. I was already a teacher by then, and it was the summer. I watched it 5 times, binge watched it. So 50 hours of my life in the summer were me just sitting in front of my TV and watching it. I don't think I've ever said that to anybody. I think it reveals just how nerdy I am about it. Yeah, so I watched it 5 times. I sat through its entirety. 5 times. I don't know if anybody else did that. So that's, I've never really mentioned it because I feel like it's a little bit sad. But what else?
I was going to say extreme, but you can use whatever word you want.
Okay. Maybe
it is. If you like extreme sports, that makes it better.
It is pretty sad at extreme at the same time. But I think, yeah, I think mostly everybody knows. I don't have a very good filter. I'll keep all everybody's secrets, but mine are on the table because I really don't care at this point. The world's probably going to end tomorrow. So might as well let everybody know who I am.
That seems like a very 49ers mentality with Kyle Shanahan, not such a Packers mentality, but we'll accept it.
Look, okay. So when I was younger, my mom told me a story. It's like a Mexican folklore thing. It's in Spanish. And it was about a man who wanted to know his future. And so he went to a fortune teller and he said, I want to know how I die. And she said, you're going to drown. She's like, it's not really clear. I'm just letting you know right now what I see is you drowning. So he stayed away from beaches. He stayed away from lakes. He stayed away from pools. Basically stayed home all day, all the time to avoid his death. And then so he drank a glass of water and drowned because the water went into his lungs. So what I'm saying is life is very short. You don't know how you're going to go. You might as well have fun with it. Make it something fun. When I was swimming with sharks, my mom was like, no, you can't do this. You're going to end up, you know, they're going to attack you. You're going to die. And I said, Mom, stop. You love drama. You know this would be the funnest story you would tell your friends. She was in Hawaii. She ended up getting eaten by sharks. That would be so fun for you. So stop.
Wow. Okay.
So go do what you want to do. No, no. Just do it.
Yeah, it's a great lesson. And I'm a little afraid to drink water, but yeah.
Now I'm afraid to drink water.
It's funny. So you mentioned it's a Mexican story, and it is. I did strategically plan this, by the way, that it is Cinco de Mayo later this week. So it was kind of, May 1st an episode. I'll bring Janet on for that week. So
I know. I love it. I feel like I progressively get more Mexican whenever we approach any of our holidays, Independence Day on September 15th, Dia de los Muertos, Cinco de Mayo. I get worse and worse. Like, I don't know. It's funny. And then like we get out of it and then I go back to being just like, I'm stuck between being Texas and I'm stuck between being Wisconsin because I was basically raised in both. Sometimes I say y'all, sometimes I say, oh, I'm like, oh, I can't. I don't know who I am. I have no self.
Ope, y'all.
I'm like, ope, y'all. Yeah, basically.
You're Janet. And I guess we're finding out about Janet. So appreciate the transparency, of course. But correct me if I'm wrong, but you have, I know, again, most of the people I bring on are fantasy football content creators, but even though you mostly just talk Packers, you have played fantasy football before, right?
You're gonna hate me. No, I haven't. I have. Okay. You're like, let's get her off the show at this moment. Let's just cut her off. No, I haven't. And actually, I feel like I'm so stuck with how crazy my life is. I don't realize how crazy my life is until my friends tell me. I'm like, they're like, yeah, it's fine. You didn't text me back for 3 days. I know that you're in your own world. And so whenever, obviously, football season comes around, it's the beginning of school. And I'm also doing all these other crazy things, trying to schedule Packer games with my family, trying to teach and everything. You know, they basically expect the world of us when it comes to teaching. I think I was talking to you about it earlier where they've had us Texas pass that bill and now we have to do tutoring starting October. So it's just been so difficult to even keep up with what's going on in the football world. And I try my best. I know Twitter keeps me up to date, and shout out to the boys on Lombardi Sweep. They also keep me up to date with their messages. Like sometimes I don't reply, but I am reading and trying to keep track of what's going on. But so I actually don't. People freak out.
Well, that's okay. Cause I actually just thought of a couple questions that I did want to pose. Just talk about it. Like, we talked about how you got into teaching, but now I'm curious how you actually first got with the guys from Fleury Sports and first joined Lombardi Sweep. So what was all that like?
Okay. Remember I said I just go for stuff? I don't really care. So it was during the pandemic. It was when I was basically sitting at home watching nothing but ESPN. Because I was still living with my parents and my dad does not change the channel from ESPN. We watch sports 24/7, whether it be soccer down to hockey, I follow all the sports because of this man, just to be able to talk to him. So
hey, biggest influence, right?
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned
your parents.
Yeah, for sure. So I follow all the sports, and it was just during the pandemic, where I was doing nothing at home. I was, for a minute there, we weren't teaching for a while. And then obviously teaching started up again, but we were at home. We weren't, so they weren't necessarily requiring the same work work ethic from us from home because it was impossible to get, you know, any kind of stuff done other than, yeah, you're going to teach today. That was basically it. So I got bored and I Googled, like internships or not internships, but just like free, like beat writing. And so, Zach popped up on the first one. He was the first one to pop up beat writing. I put beat writing Packers beat writing. And so he popped up. And so I messaged him through Twitter and I said, I saw that you were looking for a beat writer. Like, I'm actually, you know, my minor is English. I have, you know, experience in communications and media and social media and all that stuff. I wouldn't mind writing for you. And so he said, yeah, he was like, sure. He's like, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to pay you though. And I said, it's fine. I'm a teacher. I don't get paid doing that either. But I was like, no, I was just like, I'm fine. I'm well off. You know, I live with my parents. It doesn't really matter. So I told him I would do it for him for free. And then once we started going back to school, they started requiring more out of us due to the fact that we were in person now. And I told him, I don't know if I can keep writing for you because I'm swamped with work. And he said, it's all good. I'm going to start a podcast. And I kind of want you on it. Since you said, like, you're kind of comfortable being in front of camera and stuff like that, I wouldn't mind you being on it. It's 1 hour every Wednesday night. If you want to be on it, let me know, yes or no. And I said, yes. I said, you know what? Let's go for it. You know, if it's something that I enjoy doing, it takes me away from my teacher mode during the week. They're hilarious. They make fun of me all the time. And it's just
your dentist facts and
oh yes, my dentist facts. Yeah, for sure. So I love being on the show with them, and it's still hard considering that I still have all these things to do. I have tutoring on Mondays, and on Tuesdays we have meetings, and then tutoring on Wednesdays. It's very hard for me to get on the show, but thankfully Zach has been a saint about it, and he's kind of let me have, you know, those days where I have to get work done, and he said, you know, he understands. His sister's a teacher, so, and she's going through a lot of the same things I am. So he's been very, he's given me a lot of grace, and I'm very thankful for that because I know not a lot of other people would. They would have already kicked me out. They'd be like, this girl is lame. All she does is tell jokes, and she's barely even on. So he's given me a lot of grace, and he's been totally cool about it. And I appreciate it a lot because I feel like they keep me up to date of what's going on as well. Because sometimes I'm just so swamped with work and stuck in my teacher mode that I forget of what's going just recently I didn't realize that Reed was no longer going to be rocking number one, and I was like, it's just so that's also why I try so hard to always be on Twitter, because Twitter also keeps me on track. But I obviously cannot be on Twitter all day if I'm at work, so I call it post and ghost. Sometimes I'll just post something on Twitter and disappear.
Oh, that's okay. The decompression, right? Of, you know, it's there when you need it, but you can't you don't always need it, or you can't always access it. But yeah, Jamie's saying he missed the start of the live. I mean, we're still going, Jamie. So if you're here now, you can at least watch the rest of it. But yeah, and for anyone who does miss it live, you can always go back on the Going for Two Live YouTube page and watch not just this, but all the episodes are archived. So. You can always go back and check the start. But I guess we'll get to the what is normally called the high five section. I suppose for this week we can call it the high cinco section. It actually sounds cool when I say it like that. High cinq section. In French, it's okay too. But so high five. So basically, I'm going to ask you top five in five different categories. And yeah, okay. Jamie's here. Janet's here.
I have him written down on it.
Very teacher-like. No, we should be anticipating that on this for this season anyway.
The kids were taking a test, so I was able to jot them down for you. I actually, even though I don't play fantasy, I answered your what would be my fantasy
Oh,
team.
okay. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the all-time QB1, wide receiver one, RB1. Okay, so we'll delay the high five talk for a sec. Yeah, sure. We can get to this your all-time fantasy players.
Yes. So, obviously I am a millennial. And I know that, players have completely changed from the past, as well as football has changed. So this would be my as far as my what I would who I would want as my quarterback. So I know it's a love-hate situation right now, but I would still
Love.
want yeah, love hate. I would still want AR12 as my quarterback. He is the most talented of them all. So why not? I know people are hating on him. I saw it too. I was being a little bit of a hater because I was thinking, oh, when he's in Wisconsin seen in public, he's just in hoodies, but now he's a New Yorker, so he's always in leather. I noticed
I
that.
mean, he's a California boy at heart. He's always been. That's
I noticed that. I was like, now he's wearing leather out and about because he's in New York. Okay. Before it was all hoodies and, silly caps. Now he's got gel. He's like gelled his hair.
one time you
Rude.
look like Nick Cage from Con Air.
Yeah. So, but if AR12 is not available, I would want Hurts because I think he's like this new age quarterback that is so mobile, and I love his. Wait, can I cuss on here?
I think technically not, but I think once you get past a certain point, you can. So yeah,
Okay, so I'll say
Jeff's mentioned you can either do it like six times max, but or not in the first 3 minutes. So I think at this point of the episode, go ahead. You've saved up 50 minutes worth of time. You can feel free.
I'll keep it fourth grade.
That still probably seems pretty vulgar, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'll keep it kindergarten. This is silly. I'll just do it myself. He's very Hurts is very this is silly. I'll just do it myself. So whenever he just can't find anyone open, whenever he's just like, okay, at this point I might as well just run the ball. So I like that mentality. I know a lot of people don't. They're like, he's got to pass the ball, but he gets the job done. So might as well.
Won a lot of games last year. Couldn't win the last
Exactly.
one, but they were pretty close.
Yeah,
But did
so
all like I mean, Packers didn't even make the playoffs, right? Like, how many steps were they away, right? Like, so obviously, we'd rather be in the Super Bowl than not.
Just like
Sorry to Eagles fans.
PTSD
Yeah.
flashbacks. Oh,
I'm sorry. I can never forget losses, so they're always ingrained in me anyway, so I'm always ready to throw them out.
So obviously, I'm gonna be biased because,
Yeah, don't talk about. Sorry, Janet, but I was going to interrupt. Yeah, don't talk about Zach Kuntz. That's how you pronounce that name, Jamie. Zach Kuntz. There's
yeah.
a, I think, fantasy cheat sheet last week, which again, going for two archives, you can hear how Jamie pronounces Zach Kuntz's name if you want. I'm not going to say it that way.
Obviously, I'm a Packers fan. I'm gonna be very biased. And I think we've been very entitled and very spoiled with our players. They're so good. I think for sure.
Yeah.
I'm biased. Okay. So if you are not a Packer fan, you think I'm delusional. That's all good. So.
Sorry, Jamie, but we're moving on. He's not a Packer, he's a Jet, so we don't have to talk about him. He's a Jet tight end. That probably makes him irrelevant just for that, but go Ty Conklin.
So, yeah, no, I have family that are Vikings fans, and I have family because they're in Minnesota, and I have family that are Cowboy fans, and the Cowboy fans are funny. Every year they're like, I hate you guys. You're good every year. This is not freaking fair. They're so mad all the time. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I think there's some truth in that. I think we've been very spoiled, our generation with Rodgers, with Jones. We've been very spoiled with Adams. So I'm gonna be biased when I would say that my fantasy running back would be Jones. But I do have, if Jones was not available, Derrick Henry. Because he's just so giant and just a monster breaking through walls, the Kool-Aid man just with men hanging from him, just a remarkable talent right there. So I would probably choose Derrick Henry, King Henry. I know his numbers were a little bit down because he was injured this past season, but and I mean, as it happens with all running backs, they get injured fairly often. So I would take Derrick Henry. Go for it.
Well, I was gonna say, and wide receiver one, I think we probably have the answer, and that one could be one that applies for both the Packers and non-Packers fans.
Yeah. Although
there was a year a couple years ago where Aaron Jones either finished as the running back one or two in fantasy, one of those years where he had like 17 touchdowns. So there's seasons where he's definitely produced and he's definitely made fantasy managers happy.
For sure. I would go with Adams.
Yeah.
Adams or DeAndre Hopkins. I think they have very similar playing styles. Yeah. I think they're very much, they have the same attitude on and off the field. So I think he would definitely be somebody that I would want on my team. And then last but not least, tight end would be, I think it's not a tie for me. If it were Packer fan, if it were a Packer player, sorry, it would be Finley. But I'm kind of swerving towards Kittle and Kelsey, but more Kittle. I know people think he's cringe. I know people think he's crazy. I love it. I grew up watching wrestling, WWE Raw. So I just love his mentality. I know people are like, but he's so cringe and he's so weird off the field. But his energy goes on the field with him, and I appreciate that. And he's just so talented, and he's just so giant and crazy. And so I would want Kittle on my team. I mean, like my mom says, well, I don't want to cuss again.
You and him probably have a similar attitude, the extreme sports attitude, right?
Yeah, for sure. But I don't want to cuss again. But my mom always says, that person is a B, but she's that B you want on your team. So he's a jerk, but he's the jerk you want on your team because you know he's going to want to win. That's what I want. So, yeah, I would choose Kittle.
So crazy Janet's choosing crazy Kittle.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. I mean, I go crazy for Kittle. I think he's my most rostered dynasty tight end right now across my league. So yeah, I'm all in on investing on him for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get to the high cinco section. So we'll start with your top five, your top cinco favorite artists and bands.
Okay.
Or slash, like, either way.
Yeah, I have both.
Oh, yeah.
So working my way up to number one, it's kind of hard. I listen to everything. I know people say, really, everything? Yes, everything. Down to death metal, down to, you know, anything like that. I'm very much open to listening to everything. So starting at the bottom, we will go Backstreet Boys.
Death metal, the same Backstreet Boys. I love it, though.
That's five. Four is a country band called Turnpike Troubadours. I don't know if y'all know them. They're pretty big. They're big in Texas, like pretty much people bow down to them. So Turnpike Troubadours, if you haven't listened to them, if you like country, if you like red dirt country, Texas country, not hip hop, Morgan Wallen, which to each their own, but that's just not me. I like it as twangy as possible, as pretty much they were drinking all day and they decided to write about it and everything is like banjos and... Yeah, so Turnpike Troubadours. We've got Paramore. Nice. Had to do Paramore. Then we've got, I think it would be a tie between Amy Winehouse and The Cure. I am a little bit of an old soul. So Amy Winehouse, I've got a tribute tattoo of her. I just think that she was so underrated and I find it remarkable that Mac Miller kind of had the same situation, and I love Mac Miller, but had the same situation as far as the way their deaths came to be. But for some reason, she's a little bit more excluded from, I don't know what it is, but for some reason I've noticed her death projects more negativity than his. I don't know why. But Amy Winehouse.
Not to just throw that out there, but is that just misogynistic media, right? Like, oh, a female's demise will over dramatize it, whereas a male's demise will.
You said it.
Well, thinking it's probably true, right?
It's true. It's true. I agree very much. But I think she was a great lyricist, and she was way ahead of her time. You hear her music and you think, like, this person wrote it yesterday, this person. And you can hear the pain in her voice. And so I just love her. And then obviously The Cure, because I am an emo child. I am very much an emo kid trapped in this body.
I feel like they invented emo music.
For sure. They set the ground. I'm very bubbly and all that. But I mean, obviously, I feel like I'm very passionate. A lot of people tell me, but you seem so happy. Yeah, but I'm very passionate. I feel everything in extremes, just like my life. So I think that The Cure is, I love them. I love them so much. And they're coming to the US this year after being gone for like 7 years. The last time I saw them was, I believe, 2012, 2013 with Depeche Mode.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Bringing back the 80s.
It was great because I was basically standing around with a bunch of hippies that had already seen them so many times that they just pushed me to the front because they knew it was my first time. Aww. And that's why I say it's good to be transparent in some situations. I said, it's my first time seeing them because I was being very passionate at the concert. And I said, oh my gosh, I love them. It's my first time seeing them. And everybody just, get her to the front. She needs to see them. Like, she needs to see Robert Smith. Like, push her to the front. So I ended up front row, center, right at Robert Smith's feet. So
there you go. I think it sounds good from anywhere. But yeah, you get the visual.
For sure.
So then we'll go with, we'll go from sounds to sights and reading specifically. What are your top five favorite books?
This is going to be crazy. Well, yeah, I really don't have a top book. And it's not because I don't read. I spent my entire life, I had a similar experience with Jimmy Buffett. I love that.
At first I thought Warren Buffett, the investment guy, then I realized, oh wait, yeah, the Margaritaville guy. Okay. Well, that's nice, Jamie.
So
thank you for sharing.
I love it though. I love it. So I actually, it's not because I don't read. It's because I've read so many books due to the fact that I decided to choose to be English, to be my degree was in English. All I did was read books. I grew up around my parents that were both teachers that forced me to read books constantly. I still do. I am a teacher and it's all I do. I read all day. So it's just, all I do. So I'm not really, I haven't found time to sit down and read a good book in a long time, but I will say that when I was in fourth grade, I read all the Harry Potters in one day. So I am very much a reader and a fast one at that.
That can count as five different books. So
true. My parents literally could not get me out of my room when the Harry Potter books came out. I didn't eat all day. I just read, just like my binge watching Packers legendary documentary. So I read all those books in one day. My parents couldn't get me out of my room. I have a lot of serial killer books. I don't know if that's, I don't know what that says about me.
So does my wife. Like, I've read some of her serial killer investigation books. So yeah, that's fine.
Because you come into my place and it's like my books lined up. It's like Evil Killers of 2005, Children Killers, Murders. And I'm like, oh, so, yeah, don't worry about that. Like, I'm not plotting anyone's death here. I just like reading it, and I'm pretty much nerdy all around.
Hooray. So same here. As a huge nerd, I approve the message, I suppose. Jamie read the Harry Potter books too. See, I've seen all the movies. I've read most of the books. I don't think I've read all the books, to be honest.
So I actually, it took me a while to watch the movies. I'm not gonna lie. I read the books as soon as they came out, and I'm gonna say I didn't watch the Harry Potter movies until the pandemic because I had nothing else to do. So I didn't watch them till then, and I will say, the books are definitely much better, obviously, and I don't want to be that person everybody hates. Oh, the books are much better. You're so cool. The books are so much better to me. And let me tell you why. Because, like I said, I'm a 5-year-old trapped in a 30-year-old body. And I think it allows me to run with my imagination, which I love doing. As you can see, some of my tweets are ridiculous. Like, who is coming up with this? It's me. It's in my head. I like using my imagination. I took a script writing course when I was attending the university where I wrote so many scripts, 50-page scripts of just fake movies, my movies, which I never threw away because I was afraid, what if somebody found it and then they made it a movie and then I end up poor and they end rich off of my ideas.
It'd be like what's
Big
a
fat
great
liar.
big liar, right? Like that was kind of the premise of that movie.
So I kept them with me, but I did so good on using my imagination, and my professor pulled me aside because some of them were horror movies. And so my professor pulled me aside. He's like, how do you come up with this? I just don't understand. And I told him, I just love using my imagination. So like the just the, that recent tweet that I thought about, where instead of the wave, just have me go in a complete circle around Lambeau Field and have the Jumbotron track me within like timeouts and stuff. I was like, that would be so funny. Just imagine me like scaling Lambeau Field while everybody just passing me. And then they'll be like, where's Janet? We're gonna look for her. I'm terrible.
You
I'm
see
like,
that
I
with
just
flags usually, like people pass the giant flag around. But yeah, it's a new con. It's like stage diving almost.
I'm like, just pass
Crowd
Jan
surfing.
Jan around. But yeah, so I love using my imagination, and I think books allow me to do that as opposed to when I watch the movies, I'm kind of given a black and white, and this is the way the person looks, and this is how they act, and so I think I like the books more in that like perspective of it.
I would say I think a lot of reason people will say that conventionally, oh, the books are better than the movie, is the books are usually the original medium. Like that's usually how this is how it's meant to be viewed, created. This story is meant to be originally told this, and if it's good enough book or popular enough book, then someone will want to tell it in a different way, but it'll never recapture exactly how that author was attempting to tell the story the first time.
So yeah, I prefer the books.
You can go with my explanation, just say the imagination. Either way though, like I think that's a lot of people probably think in one of those two ways, or maybe not. Maybe we're both just weird.
True.
But do you have a favorite Harry Potter book specifically? And I guess Jamie, if you want to answer that too in the chat, feel free.
I'm gonna say the huh. I kind of like them all. I'm gonna say the first one though, and I'm gonna say why. So I kind of like the first one because it's how he finds out that he's a wizard.
We're discovering the wizard world as well as him, like
We're
alongside him.
discovering it with him, and just while he's already in, he's already in that wizard world. We already know that he's a wizard, but finding out, I think, would be so cool. I would be so happy if like somebody just came to my door and said, "Hey, just wanted you to know you're a witch." Cool. Like I
Oh yeah, there's this like crazy murder creature that's trying to kill you, but you'll be fine.
you'll be fine because you're a wizard, Harry. So no, I think him discovering himself. I think the first it's the first one because it's shortest. But seriously, I like her answer better. But no, think about it. You're just like, and at the time, we are the Harry Potter generation. At the time, we were the same age. I was in fourth grade. I was the same age as Harry Potter was when he found out he's a wizard. And when you're reading it at that age, it is just so amazing to think that it could be possible that it could happen to you because you still believe in that. Well, not the fourth graders of nowadays, but at our fourth grade, we did believe that that could still happen. So I think when you're discovering it with him and you're as your same age as him while it's happening, I think that is really, I think that's magical.
All right. So the Philosopher's Stone apparently is the favorite answer.
I played the first video game on a computer with dial-up internet. I love that.
The first video game ever. Wow, Jamie, that's quite an accomplishment.
No one ever played video games before, Jamie. And I'll tell you why I love that so much. Because so I've got my bag full of like techie stuff, and I've got this bad boy.
Game Boy Color.
And it still works. And you know what game I have in here? Sabrina Pokemon? The Teenage Witch. Oh.
Everyone just usually has Pokemon. That's why it's always the first guess. But yeah, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I'm all for playing Harry Potter on your computer with dial-up internet.
Oh, the first Harry Potter game. I understand. Yeah, I thought he meant the first video game ever. Okay. I understand, Jamie. Sorry. See, Janet's better at reading than I am. She read through that to understand the comment.
Yeah, no, he talked about the first video game on his computer with dial-up internet was the Harry Potter one. So well,
it's funny. Why can't I think of the second book / movie's name? The Chamber of Secrets. I had the Chamber of Secrets game for Game Boy Advance. So
I like the Chamber of Secrets too because he finds out that he can speak to the snakes. Was it Pothotung? Is that what it's called? So he finds out that he can speak to snakes. How cool would it be if you found out that you can speak to snakes? That's all I want. I would be so stoked.
So stoked speaking to snakes.
And at the time, I had a pet snake. So as you can see, yes, I am Harry Potter.
Or Voldemort, because you like green. So you'd be in Slytherin just because of green, right?
I am actually not. I am Gryffindor. The hat told me. Okay. But yeah, I did the hat at Universal Studios. The hat told me that I was Gryffindor. I've been told that I'm also Hufflepuff, but I'm a self-proclaimed Slytherin because I like to play the villain.
Okay, so it's funny because I think I've taken the test and end up as Ravenclaw, but there are days where I act more like a Hufflepuff, to be fair.
They say Hufflepuffs are basically, they can empathize a lot. They mirror the people that they are around. So snakes are the only animal I'm afraid of to fight.
Yeah, because Jamie has no problem. It's like if there's a bear there, I'll kick your butt. Yeah, no. That's the Cleveland connoisseur for you, folks.
So, yeah, I think Hufflepuff, they can empathize a lot. So they mirror the people that are around them.
Yeah, apparently you'd rather fight a gorilla than a snake. So that's
okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Max in here as well. Thanks for joining, Mac. Saying he mods Game Boys in his free time. So plays Game Boy games a lot.
I love that.
Yeah. I guess on computer. I think that's what that means. Like computer modules that kind of simulate certain styles, like Game Boy style games. I think anyway, maybe correct me if I'm wrong there, Mac. Maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's funny because we've just gone through talking about how, oh yeah, books over movies. But next question is, what are your top five favorite movies?
Any Saw movie is my comfort movie. I know that sounds ridiculous. I'm pretty sure my neighbors hate me. They think I'm killing somebody over here.
He builds the consoles. Like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty sweet, Mac.
So you could totally help me out. My Game Boy is scratched up. Look at this.
So, Mac, if you could find her on Twitter at OJanJan.
Yes, please.
O has two H's, by the way, because I remember trying to type that in and like, why can't I find it? It's like, oh, wait, two H's.
Okay, yeah, two H's. Yeah, so
Penguin Wars.
So you could help me with my screen because it's so sad. Poor guy. So any Saw movie, I'm for all the gore.
Comfort movie saw. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, sometimes I just put it on for the noise in the background, which is completely terrible. I think it has a lot to do with also that I'm a fourth grade teacher, well, a kinder teacher too, that screams just comfort me. I thrive in chaos. So Hereditary is one of them too. And I think, I don't know if your wife does this because she is so into like murder documentaries and all that stuff. But I think it's, and I also think it's because I was a theater kid and we worked on Sweeney Todd. We worked on, all the blood and gore. And so I know that it's red food coloring or chocolate with red food coloring. That movies, whenever something really gory happens, I think it's really funny. So I don't watch them in theater. So Hereditary is one that I have to watch at home because I think it's hilarious. So I don't know if your wife is the same because she's like into that.
Well, she likes, like, yeah, she has done some theater stuff in the past. She does like the concept of like, you know, how they make the makeup or how they make the effects, like, yeah, the, as opposed to digital effects, the, yeah, yeah,
she, yeah, so and it. She kind of knows like what's going on in the background, so mm-hmm. Whenever I watch those movies and people are like, oh, I was terrified, I was scared, and I'm like, dude, it was funny, like there was red corn syrup everywhere. So I'm not allowed to watch any scary movies or any movie, obviously. I'm very loud and very rambunctious. So I like going to like the premieres of Jurassic Park. Any Jurassic Park premiere, I am there. And I am in my Jurassic Park shirt like a nerd. I love Jurassic Park because as soon as like some sort of dinosaur... Yes, so I laugh when someone gets their head chopped off, me too. Yeah, I do. I really do.
That seems like the Cleveland way to do things anyway, right, Jamie? Laugh at misery because that's all there is. Sorry.
No, you're good. So whenever...
I was more apologizing to him, just saying now Cleveland's nothing but misery. Sorry, everyone from Cleveland. I'm sorry for interrupting, though. You can continue.
No, you're good. So whenever anybody dies, and I don't know if you've ever been to a premiere of like a Jurassic Park movie, or a Star Wars movie. But people get loud and people clap when people die. And I love it. I'm there for it. Whenever I go to Jurassic Park, I remember that that babysitter, Jurassic World, where she died that horrible death with all of the, like at the very end when like the big old sea monster just like pretty mm-hmm. much got her and took her down. And everybody clapped. It was awesome. I was there.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah, everyone was cheering. Like, yeah, I do remember she that. Died. Yeah.
All the pterodactyls just tore her apart and then just threw her in the water. And she got, yeah. So I was there for it. Any Jurassic Park movie, Tombstone. Obviously, I'm in Texas. And other than ESPN, that's pretty much what my dad watched was cowboy movies. So Tombstone was on repeat all the time, always quoted in the house. So just something to sit and watch with my dad, and ended up becoming him. Tombstone is one of those movies that I love, and any Star Wars movie. I love Star Wars. I'm a Star Wars nerd, and I just recently went to Disneyland where I pretty much got lost. I went with Jamie. Everybody knows Jamie on Twitter, Cheese Butt. So I went with Jamie and she lost me so many times when we were in Star Wars Land. She was like, where are you? She would text me like, where are you? And I'd be like, in the restrooms. It's so cool in here. And then she lost me again. She's like, where are you? I'm like, I chased some stormtroopers down this little path and now I don't know where I am. I'm lost. So I was a little kid. I ran around like a crazy person.
I was gonna say you're like Obi-Wan in New Hope, but he's running around the Death Star Yes. Not chasing stormtroopers, he's trying to evade them, but.
And I'm actually dark side, and people are like, well, you know how it ends. I know how it ends every single time. I know the outcome. I am still dark side. I still don't care. Someday we will be on top, I swear. But I love playing villains, so I will be dark side until I die.
I mean, Sith, their powers through their passion, right? And it sounds like you're very passionate, so it makes sense that you'd be a Slytherin Sith, right?
A Slytherin Sith,
and,
yes.
And Jamie is correct. It'll be May the 4th be with you on Thursday, and then
yes, it
Revenge
will.
Of the 5th or Cinco de Mayo on Friday.
Revenge of the 5th, yeah. Revenge of the 5th is my day. And then I love to make Star Wars edits. My memes. I know people crack up with some of my memes that I make on Twitter, and they're like, how did you even do that within the time frame that you had? You literally I posted this 5 seconds ago, and then you tweet it with like a meme. I love to add the cheese hat on everything. But because I took those courses in college where we would edit pictures all the time. So I'm super fast, and my best work always comes when I'm driving, of course. I'll be driving, and I'll be like, you know what would be really funny? This. And then I'm driving, and I'm like, but I can't do it right now. So most of my funniest memes have come forth when I'm driving. It's terrible.
Well, I mean, at least you have the discipline to not do it while you're driving, right? Like,
I try. I have to control myself. Yeah.
Well, Jamie's asking what the Twitter handle is, and I guess by bringing up the comments, it erases it. But basically, Janet has it here. Oh, Jan, as you can see Jan, on the screen. Jan.
Yes, that is my handle. That name came from the movie Bring It On, believe it or not. My family, they would, in the movie, there's a part where he's like making fun of one of the male cheerleaders, and he called him Jan, the cheerleading man. And my family would call me Jan, the cheerleading man, along with my best friend. And then it just stuck to Jan, and so now everybody calls me Jan, which is totally fine. I know people have chased me. I mean, I love talking about myself, but I hate sounding so cocky, but people have chased me down at Lambeau by Jan, and it is like the funniest thing. They're like Jan, and it's just I'm like, hi, I don't know who you are, and I'm so sorry. But then I'll meet up with I love meeting up with people, and I'm like, I have to follow you back, we have to take a picture, let's do this. I just love making friends with everybody there at Lambeau. It's always a vibe, and anybody, I don't care. I'm like, I've had people come up to me, you know, in the middle of the stands, like, hey, I know you from somewhere. I'm like, Twitter. They're like, yeah, I know you from Twitter. Or they'll be like, I know you came in your Bronco because you like to post everything. I'm like, yeah, I drove all the way over here. We talk about gas mileage on the Bronco. It's just, I don't mind talking to people about my personal life. I think it creates, yeah, he got me.
All right. Well, yeah, that's where we're here. Connect with the community. That's the whole point of this show. I guess if some food for thought, what are your top 5 favorite game day foods?
Barbecue, pizza, burgers, brats, any kind of, like, I call it the Chattahoochee boards, the charcuterie boards.
Okay.
I'm in Texas. I call it the Chattahoochee boards, the charcuterie boards. I know Wisconsin basically came up with charcuterie boards. It's just a fancy schmancy name, but ever since I could remember when I was little, my grandma always had a plate of just cheese sitting on the counter, and we would just munch on cheese all day long. And it's just, Wisconsin is the OG of charcuterie boards. Charcuterie boards, just a fancy name for that Wisconsin tradition. And still to this day, my grandma knows we're coming, and she puts out a plate of cheese just on the table, and it's just colorful cheeses all through and through. And so any kind of cheese, I'm down.
I was trying to think of a cheesy joke, but I didn't have anything, so I just said that.
I can't come
up with it. But yes, we'll get to the final 5. So your top 5 favorite Packers players all time.
Jordy Nelson is my number one. I know people are like, really? Yes, he is my number one. I always take in the attitude and the lifestyle that these Packer players, I'm obsessed. I always say the Packers are like the, to put it in retrospect, some women follow Kardashians. I follow the Packer players. I follow their wives. I follow their families. I'm all for it. So,
keeping up with the pack.
Keeping up with the pack, for sure. So everything that Jordy Nelson embodied, even though he was, you know, Kentucky boy, was it? Yeah, it was him, Kentucky boy. So everything that he embodied was very much Green Bay. And I know there's other players that are very humble. You know, Aaron Jones is a very humble guy. Cobb is a very humble guy, too. He's also one of my favorites. Crosby, such a humble guy. But Jordy, he literally on a tractor. Sitting on a tractor after he retired. He's sitting on a tractor on some cornfield somewhere. And that is so Wisconsin.
He'll always be a Packer forever. Yeah.
He'll be a Packer forever. So humble, so chill. And I will forever be depressed because he was at the Cowboy game when I was there and was walking in the crowd and no one recognized him except one Packer fan. And so he sees me. He sees me at the Cowboy game and he's like, hey, Janet, guess who was here? And I was like, who? And I'm like, who? And he's like, he turns his phone and it's Jordy Nelson. And Jordy Nelson had been there like 5 minutes before me. He said, yeah, he was just walking in the crowd and nobody said hi to him. Just me. And I'm like, shut up. And I started crying. I'm so passionate. Started crying. I was like my all-time favorite Packer. And I didn't even get to meet him. And because my Uber didn't know where to drop me off. My Uber circled around AT&T Center twice. Trying to find where to drop me off. And I was like, I was so flustered. I was like, just drop me off here. I see people. Drop me off here. And he was like, are you sure? And honestly, he was just trying to take my money. And he was like, no. Are you sure we can get you closer? And I was like, I really don't care. Just drop me off. I will walk.
I love danger. I mean, if it is dangerous, it's tangent.
But I was like, just drop me off. But there were so many fans walking in one direction. So I was like, if I just jump in the crowd, kind of like, you know, surfs up or whatever, just like jump in the crowd and just follow everybody, I'll be fine. And he was like, no, I can drop you off closer. I know this place. And he just kept circling around. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with you. Drop me off here. So he dropped me off. And so then we circle around. I get through the gate. And that's as soon as, you know, that guy saw me. And he was like, hey, I know you, Twitter, whatever. And then he's like, talk to me. He's like, hey, look, who just look at who I saw. I saw Jordy. And I was like, what in the world? And I started crying. It was so bad. It was so bad.
So you could say it was uber disappointing.
It was uber disappointing. Ugh, and still to this day, I hate that Uber guy, whoever he is. He's if I had a hit list, he would be number one.
So just people chiming in on their favorite Packers players. Jamie said Ahmad Green, who I believe is the Packers all-time leading rusher.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Antonio Freeman as well. KGB. Do I feel awful for not knowing who KGB is?
Well, if you don't know, I'm pretty much.
We'll go with Antonio Freeman. Great receiver. He's got that amazing catch in overtime against the Vikings. There you go. And also a bunch of other catches, too.
I feel like I was very young. And while a lot of, you know, the older players, my dad obviously watched them and I sat around and watched them with him. I'm very much into the players that I grew up watching. So I've got Jordy, Jones, Crosby, Cobb, and obviously Rodgers. I did have Adams in there as well, but you only gave me five. So
I think, all right, going high. Yeah. That's the only rule.
And we were lucky to see, you know, all these guys on the field together at one point and just playing. And Like I said, Packers have been very much, we're very spoiled. And you can see it on Twitter. They're just so entitled. And, you know, they get upset for any little reason, not trusting the process and getting upset over, you know, stats that happen in college and getting so pressed about me saying that, you know, like, you know, these kids, they're kids. They're coming in. Do you remember going to college? Like, we drank all the time and, oh, yeah, but he's a football player. And you think he's not going to be at parties and you think he's not going to eat Pop-Tarts and you think he's not going to eat Hot Pockets and just, like, you're 21, 20. You think you're invincible. Like, these guys are coming in and they're finally getting, you know, serious about – while they were serious about it before, now it's your career. Now it's your lifetime, you know, goal has been accomplished. So seeing everybody upset over Twitter kind of cracks me up. And I get it. You see the stats, you know, their college numbers, and you're kind of upset. But at the same time, I don't think that we should be judging them from that.
Judge them for what they do in the NFL, right?
Judge them. And you don't know how they're going to fit into our scheme yet. Like, you're literally just throwing out all these, you know, assumptions about them. And my dad always says, rookies are never good. They're never good. So just trust the process. Trust that they're going to be developed properly. And we'll see it from there. So I'm, like you said, Luke and I on Lombardi Sweep are very much the optimistic ones. And I get it, because Zach's got all these numbers in his head and he's very analytical. But Luke and I are a little bit more, like, you know, positive about the season. We're like, yeah, we're going to win. We're going to go to the Super Bowl every single year. And
Zach's, is that, like, the Dallas influence that's coming over you?
No, because Luke has it too. Luke is the same. Okay,
that's fair.
And Zach's like, can you guys shut up? Look at these numbers. They're terrible. Like, so no, I just think we should give them all a chance. And I think they're also kids and this is their lifelong dream. And I know a lot of people are like, it's football. You got to learn to be tough. But at the same time, you're not on the field, so you need to shut up. Basically, like, you're not on the field. You have no idea what's going on. You're yelling in the stands wearing their number on your shirt. So
tough talk from up in the stands, or yeah, tough typing from the computer, but
they're not gonna hear you. They don't hear you. So just give these guys a chance, I think. And I think I'm very excited for the season coming up. I'm so excited. And I think the past drafts have been a little rough and bumpy, although we have gotten a few good players. But I think being optimistic is better than being pessimistic about the season. I don't want to go into the season mad. Why do you want to go into the season mad? It makes no sense.
If the season's bad, you'll be mad during the season. So why extend the misery, right? Like, yeah.
Right. It's a roller coaster. We're happy. Woo! Yeah, we start. Let us be up here for a little bit with that adrenaline rush, meeting our friends. And I saw this post the other day that said, you've been through this before. You can do it again. And that's like me with the Packers every year. They let me down. It's cool. Let's do it again. Woohoo! Because I'm a ride or die.
Yeah, hop on the ride, I was gonna say. Yeah, and of course the going for two live ride, we'll say, is riding every night. I know tomorrow night Speak on It will be live. Of course, Jeff Lambert and Ryan Serfoss co-host the Armchair Fantasy Show every Wednesday night. Dynasty Gambit this Thursday is Dynasty Saturday Night 5 on obviously Saturday night. So jam-packed week here on the Going for Two Live network. Once again, I guess I'll shout out the sponsor real quick. Underdog Fantasy, use the promo code GF2 or scan the QR code and you will get a double deposit match when you join Underdog, up to $100. So yeah, either use the promo code GF2 or scan the QR code. And just to keep staying along on, you know, subscribe if you're not yet to the Going for Two Live network. And that way you can get live notifications for all these great shows that I mentioned. Jamie just wants to mention he's going to hop off doing a mock draft. Yeah, we're basically done anyway, Jamie. So your timing almost works perfectly. But apparently you're awesome, Jan. And I wholeheartedly agree.
Thank you so much for having me on and hearing me ramble about myself.
Well, it was great. I think you seem to enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I think the listeners, viewers enjoyed it. So everyone had a great time tonight. I think it was awesome. And of course, you can follow Jamie. I almost said Jamie. You can follow Janet. We were talking about Jamie earlier. But yeah, you can follow Janet on Twitter at OJanJan. That's two H's in O. Again, when I was trying to find it earlier, like, why can't I find it? I'm pretty sure it's OJanJan. And then two H's. Two H's and one N. Well, I guess not when it's Jan Jan.
OHHJANJAN.
And anyway, I'm at Center Says, and I guess press coverage will be back in a couple weeks. Actually, not entirely sure who my guest will be on the 15th yet, but stay updated for that. Of course, it's press coverage every 2 weeks. So next Monday, Gladys and Jay will be back for the 2-point conversion. Thank you, Janet. This was awesome.
I loved it. Go Pack, go.
Ah, yeah. Love hearing that. Usually that's a DFS Friday thing with Tim Strobel, who always mentions it. But yeah, we'll say it again here loud and proud.
Go Pack, go. As you
can see on screen. All right. Anyway, thank you all for everyone in the chat. Jamie, Mac, Jeff stopped in for a little bit too. Of course, I guess Janet, but everyone who's interacted with us, watch us. Appreciate it all very much. And this was another episode of Press Coverage. Bye for now.
Bye.